You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Schwabach.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me, folks. We are broadcasting live from Madison, Wisconsin tonight. I am at our headquarters here at Civic Media over State Street. And Conrad, I have a confession to make. You were playing the music, but mm-hmm. I heard other music. And then Rob and I were talking during the break. There's a trumpet player down on State Street. So I don't know if you could hear that, but that's what that other music was. I'm like, why is he playing the music with 5 minutes left to go?
He's pretty good.
He's good.
Yeah. We should throw a quarter out the window.
He's better than Take Five by Stan Getz or whoever it was. Great to have you with me tonight, folks. We are entering Act Three here. At 7:35, my friend Jim McHugh will be here. A very funny Chicago-based stand-up comedian who is a Packer fan living in Bear Country. I am, of course, a Bear fan living in Packer Country. So he and I will have a fun Packer-Bear discussion. And I'm sure Conrad will join in there as well as the big game approaches Saturday night in Chicago. So that should be a fun talk. If you missed the rest of the show or are just joining us, Kristen Lierley was here in Act One and talked about the flu and her recovery from a really, really crazy accident. She's lucky to be alive, and it was really great to talk to her and know that she's doing okay. And she also gave us some tips on how to avoid getting the flu. All of the previous hours are available in podcast form at civicmedia.us. And in hour number two, Mike Gamal from Joey's Song joined us. And Conrad is back in Green Bay. How's it going there?
I mean, it's rainy. It's gross outside. It's going to freeze. I'm going to be slipping all over.
Oh, man. It's like 70 here.
Oh, really?
So nice.
Oh, wow.
Wish you were here.
I wish I would have came down.
The window open.
Rob walked in Bermuda shorts and drinking a margarita. So our question of the night, folks, is what is your favorite soap opera? I thought of this last night because I saw that All My Children, I've already forgotten it again, came out in 1970. That was the anniversary of the date that the show dropped. So the question tonight is, what is your favorite soap opera or cheesy drama? So let us know. We'll get caught up on some texts pretty soon. In fact, I wanted to read Conrad's family is texting like, what is going on? Are you having a family reunion, Conrad? And they're all texting in at the same time?
I think so.
Look at this. We got Aunt Carla, Conrad's dad, Conrad's mom. It's awesome. Sydney Politics checks in on the stream and says, Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Sydney. Conrad's mom says, Hallmark mystery movies. Predictable, but still enjoy watching. You ever watch those with your mom, Con?
I can't remember. The last one. I don't like Hallmark movies, really, so.
Do you like Lifemark movies?
I love Lifemark movies.
Have you ever heard our trailers, Rob? Our Lifemark movie trailers?
I have not.
Oh, man. I'm going for a treat. If you don't like them, they're free. Conrad's mom also says, from Conrad's dad, tell him, one of my 2026 New Year's resolutions will be to make sure he has a Christmas tree in his new apartment. They were listening at the beginning of the show. She says, as Tiny Tim always says, God bless everyone. Thank you, Paula, and thank you, Steve. Your dad is making your mom text tonight, Conrad.
Yeah.
You okay with that?
I'm all right. It's all right.
All right. In the meantime, folks, we have more time with our pal Rob Thomas, who joins me in studio. We were talking about award shows. We started with fun things to do in Madison in January. There's outdoor ice skating at several different places. You can read about all of this in the CityCast Madison newsletter, which Rob is the editor of, and a lot of fun inside events too, Rob. Great bands playing around town. That's exciting.
Yeah, and the Freezing Man is, Michael was here. Like, I mean, yeah, we're rich in stuff to do, even in January.
You know what? And all I do in January up in Marinette is try not to go outside. I need something, you know what I mean? Like a good concert or something. And there's good music. There are people to play, but man, it's tough to get yourself out of the, like, you probably have to, cause you write about this stuff. You probably have to leave the house during the winter.
Yeah, I probably, I do have to leave. I mean, I have to leave the house for my own sanity.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, when I'm like, when it's like dinner time, like, oh yeah, I haven't actually talked to anybody other than the dogs all day. Then it's like, then I have to go interact. I'm one of those people who are really chatty with the barista at the coffee shop. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, you also wrote something. The whole staff at CityCast did an article about food in Madison, the best food they ate in 2025, which I thought was another great angle that you guys come at things from at CityCast. You wrote about Detroit-style pizza. Can you explain? I've only had Detroit-style pizza at Little Caesars, like during a football game.
Sure.
And it was good. But it's just, is it just breaded, more bread? What is Detroit-style pizza?
It sort of like takes the pizza right to the edge. And so instead of having the crust, it goes right to the edge. And then the edges are kind of, the cheese is kind of caramelized.
Mm.
And I didn't think I would like this because I, you know, I spent a lot of years in Chicago. I like your deep dish. I like big crust. But there's a place in Madison called Molten Monkey Pizza.
Love it.
Great name. And a friend of mine were at a bar across the street one night, and we got it, and it was fantastic. Like, it was so, it was definitely one of the best things I ate.
Wow.
In 25. So, you know, and I'm not, this is no shade against Little Caesars. But,
you can throw shade.
You get two of them. You get two of them.
Yeah.
But, it was incredible. And their pizzas are actually kind of smaller. So they're like great for two people.
Okay.
So you have leftovers, but, it is a different way to do pizza. I think it may be a little faddish, but they really do it right there.
I was so moved by what you wrote. You apologized to the city of Detroit for prejudging their pizza, as
right,
I recall.
Right. Well, we had a longstanding grudge, me and Detroit, and me and the Motor City. So we finally buried the hatchet.
You know, it seems like to me, as a guy who spent a lot of time in Chicago in my life, you got Chicago-style pizza, you got New York-style pizza, both very definitive.
Absolutely.
It seemed like Detroit was just trying to shoehorn its way into the argument.
Right.
And it's just like a square pizza with a little more bread. I think they need something to disassociate themselves.
I think they've set themselves apart.
Have you? Okay.
Yeah.
And you like Chicago pizza?
I love Chicago pizza. Yeah. I mean, you know, when that you go to like Giordano's, there's like that hubcap of sausage. You know, I mean, that's pizza.
Pizza.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk movies, Rob. You've seen you're on top of these. You talked a little bit about. A big movie right now from A24, Timothée Chalamet, Marty Supreme. So,
yeah.
Oscar Best Picture
for sure.
Potential nominee? Okay.
Nominee for sure. Best Actor for sure. I guess Timothée Chalamet has been kind of bragging a bunch in his public appearances. I hadn't really noticed this, but I a couple of people tell me that they're kind of turned off by his Oscar campaign.
Oh, come on.
I think he's channeling the character in Marty. Who is this 1950s professional ping pong player.
Right.
And is as good at like trash talk as he is at like playing ping pong. And it, first of all, and this is a strange thing to say, the ping pong sequences are incredible. Like they're, you wouldn't think that because the only ping pong I think I've ever seen in a movie was in Forrest Gump. I don't think I've ever seen.
You didn't see Balls of Fury?
Oh, yeah. That was ping pong. I'll have to go back and see that. But you know, very fast moving and exciting, and I really am amazed how they did it. It made it look real.
Was it CGI?
I think it was a mix. I think it was a CGI, wow. But they like choreographed every shot,
huh.
like almost like a dance. So they knew I'm going to slam it. I'm going to hit it, you know, all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But at like lightning speed. So it's really cool to watch. But a lot of this movie is watching Marty, who is, like I said, kind of an arrogant loudmouth. You know, get into one jam after another, win a fortune, lose a fortune, be chased by gangsters, and he's all this trying to get back to the championships.
Right.
I think Timothée Chalamet is fantastic in it. I think he's great. He's not particularly likable, but you're sort of on his side, even though he's a real punk, you know?
Right.
And there's just such great casting throughout the movie where it's Kevin O'Leary, the bald guy from Shark Tank, acts in it.
What is that? I saw that.
He basically plays a rich jerk, which is
what he is.
It's typecasting.
I can't stand that.
Yeah, exactly. You can't stand him in the movie. It's like really good casting. Gwyneth Paltrow, who I don't think has been in a movie in quite a while.
She's just too busy selling candles that smell like your private parts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a full-time job right there. But she's really good playing this movie star who is sort of like attracted to Marty but doesn't really know why. And there's just lots of little great supporting parts. Like there's a scene involving this farmer who's this really big, scary guy. And I was like, well, I don't know who that is, but he's great. And then I just read yesterday that was Penn Jillette from Penn and Teller.
Oh, yeah.
And you could not tell at all.
Really?
Yeah. So it's really fun that way, the way there's all these people who you might know in roles that you completely don't expect. So I thought it was super fun. The same director made Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler, which is an extremely stressful movie.
Hard to watch.
This is also very stressful.
Okay.
So if you're in for that, it's a really fun ride.
Con, do you agree with that assessment? Because Conrad saw it and was raving about it.
Yeah,
I loved it. It was great. I loved the supporting cast just as much as Timothée Chalamet as well.
I agree. Yeah.
Was he better in this, Rob, than he was in the Dylan flick?
That's a good question. Very different
roles.
Very different. I think he's probably better in this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
More to do or more to act.
That's what I would say. He's not just imitating. He's creating this original, like I said. It's a hard job to play someone that brash and unlikable. And
right.
You're still like, oh, I want to see this guy get what he wants.
Rob Thomas is my guest. He's a Madison-based film critic who joins us here quite often on Nightlight to talk movies, and it's always fun. We're talking about movies right now. You also saw, Rob, and I'm ashamed I have not seen this yet, and I want to get this woman on the show desperately. Song Sung Blue.
Yes.
Fun movie? Or heavy movie?
Well, that's an interesting question. The first half of the movie, very fun. The second half of the movie, very dramatic and very sad because it's based on, as probably a lot of people know, the true story of Lightning and Thunder, who were this Neil Diamond cover band from Milwaukee in the 1990s and 2000s. In fact, I read that their last show ever was here in Madison at a Madison Ballards game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And it was kind of like after that... the guy, he died from some kind of head trauma he didn't deal with or something, which is sort of played very differently in the movie. But yeah, it's a really entertaining movie on kind of a melodrama. It reminded me of a movie from like the 90s or 2000s in that way, where it's very unabashedly emotional. Lots of highs, lots of lows. And I feel like it's kind of like the sleeper hit of kind of the holidays.
Potential Oscar nominee?
I think at least Kate Hudson, because it's really kind of a comeback performance, and she's certainly the best thing in it.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I have to see The Secret Agent. You talked about that last time you were on the show. It's reviewing outstanding. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
Is that playing in any theaters that you know of?
I think it might be playing in... That's going to be one of those things where if it gets... It might get a Best Picture nomination, and then if it does, it'll start playing a little more wide. Movie from Brazil, but it's... an incredible movie. I think
When we come back, we'll have Rob just for a few more minutes, but I want to ask him, I want to ask you where you're at with Pluribus.
Okay.
And then I got to ask you about The Plague, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and maybe we'll get into, we'll do some thumbnail reviews Anaconda, which I did not get to see last weekend because after the football games were done and I was watching one with my son, I missed it by like 20 minutes. And really wanted to see Anaconda. I wasn't expecting it to be good, but I just thought it would be a fun movie to see with my son. Rob Thomas is here. We are coming right back. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Peach Schwab and Nightlight. I don't know what's going on with my mic here, Con. Hey, folks, we are deep into Act 2 here. This is Act 3, I should say. And Rob Thomas is here in the studio with us. This has been a lot of fun. We're talking about movies. And we were just during the break talking about Terminator 2, double feature 1 and 2. For my money.
Whoa.
And it was free. So even better. My daughter had not seen either one of them. So we watched those. And I couldn't get enough of it. Great wow. films.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah.
And the first one is not as slick as the second one, but it's grittier and I love the first Terminator.
Yeah, I love that it's still kind of handmade, and you can definitely tell he's on a budget, and he's just pushing every dollar in that budget.
Crushed it.
And then Terminator 2. I mean, that's there are movies you remember seeing in the theater, and I remember seeing that in Chicago in 1991 and just being, you know, just agog at how great it was.
Great. That's a great word for it. And the first hour in particular is just like when they break her out of the asylum.
Relentless.
It's just so great. Yeah. Where are you at with Pluribus? How far into that?
Well, I know you hate it.
I do hate it. I didn't want to, and I didn't start out that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But man.
I'm at episode 9, I think.
That's the last one.
Oh, no, sorry, episode 7. So I got 2 after this one. And I still really like it. I get
oh, okay.
especially the 3 or 4, it was kind of like, okay, this episode has one idea. You know what I mean? Like, it was a little like, okay, I get that. But I love the filmmaking. I love Rhea Seehorn. I do want to see more characters, or, you know, I think I said that last time. It's basically a show with 2 characters, like the Hive Mind and Carol. And so, but the other guy, the guy who's sort of like the playboy, and if you, I love that guy. Yeah,
I like him too, but he kind of fades out, and then they focus on the guy in South America.
Right.
I didn't even like Rhea Seehorn, and I like her. I loved her in Better Call Saul.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I liked her about 2 episodes in, but even in this show, like, they would give you a nugget, like, whoa, you see her eyes go up at the end of the episode, like, what did she find? And then the next week, it's like, well, not really anything. It's people. They're eating people, but
it's
they don't
something.
Really.
It's something.
Something, but they don't. There's nothing scary. They don't go in. I don't know why I hate that show. Yeah, it just disappointed.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how it ends for sure. And I know a lot of people listening have finished the season and have their opinions about.
Listen,
it.
I'm in the minority, and I know that, and I accept that. The other show you're really high on is The Diplomat.
We love The Diplomat. That's the one my wife and I
tell people why they should watch The Diplomat.
It's so fun. It's sort of become like, I would say, like a very suspenseful West Wing. And that's about, you know, Kerry Russell and what's his name? Rufus Everett, I think. No, Rufus Sewell play.
Oh, Rufus Sewell. Yeah, I like him.
He's great. And she's the ambassador to England. He's her husband.
Right.
But they're kind of estranged. He's become vice president.
Oh.
So there's a lot of things in with Washington, D.C., where, speaking of West Wing, Allison Janney is the president, and Bradley Whitford, Madison East High School graduate, is her first man, first husband? Is that what we say?
First
I don't know.
Dude? Yeah, sure.
Really entertaining show. Lots of twists and turns and great acting. And every season ends on an incredible cliffhanger, and this one was no exception. So that's one I'm really high on.
What do you think about Mickey Rourke? Have you heard this? He is starting a GoFundMe to pay $60,000 in back rent on his Spanish villa rental home in L.A.
I think that's a worthy cause. I mean, what else were you going to spend our money on
now? The sick child or the bloated actor?
I mean,
oh, that makes me mad.
I know, but that's been Mickey Rourke his whole career.
And he's a good actor.
He's
like,
a good actor.
He's just a wacko.
But he's been a wacko since Diner, right? So, I mean, he's true to type. Yeah.
So would you say The Diplomat is your show that you could recommend the most right now?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what about a movie? Like, we talked about Secret Agent, all the movies we've talked about here. If there's one movie people could see this weekend, what would you tell them?
I'm going to say Song Sung Blue.
Okay.
I think. Because especially since we're in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And it's one I'm kind of come around to rooting for just because it is small. It's not Avatar. Certainly, it's
we
not
even talk about Avatar.
Right, that's right.
Oh my gosh!
But it's just like that's when I think the most. That's when you see with your mom. That's when you see with your kids, and everybody will have. We're really enjoy and be moved by it.
Yeah. We do have about a minute and a half left, so we can dip our toe into the beautiful CGI Avatar
Pandora.
Waters.
Oh boy!
Is it just me, or was the last battle the same exact thing?
Exact same thing. It was.
honest to God, talk about mailing it in if that's what they did. But like overall, did you like the film?
I had a good time.
Yeah.
I thought it was quite a step down from the first two, especially the second one, I think is fantastic.
Okay.
But it didn't really show you that much that was new.
Right.
And maybe the standards are so high, but I felt like, oh, we're back to, you know, the same places. I say the exact same battle, same people. Yep. And so... Yeah, I don't know. I'm not as hungry for a fourth one now as I was maybe after the second one.
And another 3 hours. And, like, can't you kill off one of the bad guys at the end of it? Like, that guy is never going to die.
Right,
and
right.
It's like, I don't know. I'm just not as enamored. We just talked about Terminator 1, James Cameron at his best, in my opinion, or Titanic, if you want to call it that. But this just seemed like a little disingenuous almost. It just seemed like he kind of mailed it in a little.
I think you're right that he didn't want to close off any avenues. And so they left a lot of people hanging, like literally, you know, would have been more impactful to have them actually like die. But I did love the woman who's the new villain in the new one. She was the best
she was
part
good.
Of it.
Yeah,
she was
that's great. True. That's a great point. Yeah. Rob, thank you. Enjoy Hamilton tomorrow night.
Thanks, Pete.
Learn the songs, the raps. Before you probably know the words by now, but this has been fun. Thank you for coming.
It's great to see you in person.
Yeah, you too, buddy. That's Rob Thomas. Check out his work at Not That Rob Thomas Substack, where he reviews movies, and check out CityCast Madison, the CityCast Madison newsletter, where he is the newsletter editor. Great publication. We are coming right back for some Bears Packers talk after the news. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are jamming through hour number three here. Just a couple more segments to go here, folks, as we broadcast live from Madison tonight. Conrad is holding down the fort back in Green Bay. And always fun to talk to Rob Thomas. Conrad, did you enjoy that?
Yeah, and, you know, like you said, you got to go out and see Marty Supreme. It's great.
I know. It's on my list. I might go see it tonight, or I'll see Song Song Blue, but we'll figure that out.
See Marty
Supreme. You think so?
I think you're going to enjoy
Song Song Blue, though?
Yeah, I think, you know, you can see, you know, Song Song Blue tomorrow.
I could see both of them tomorrow.
Yeah, you could.
Maybe I roll into Green Bay a little early from Madison and see one of those fine films.
Well, we know you're not going to, I was going to say, you know, you're not going to go in the hot tub or work out anymore because of the convention
going
on.
No, I'm not. Because of the theater convention. They'll be doing Shakespeare in the pool. So, folks, our question of the night, we will get to your texts very shortly, is what is your favorite soap opera or cheesy drama? We'll play catch-up on some of these texts, a few of them from Conrad's family. And Carla is back in the mix. That's always fun to see. But right now, we are going to segue into another form of show business, and that is the world of professional sports, more specifically, the NFL. And joining us now to talk Bears-Packers is a Packer fan living in Chicago. Can you imagine the horror, ladies and gentlemen? He is a very funny, talented stand-up comedian as well. Mr. Jim McHugh joins us over the stream. Hey again, buddy.
Pete, great to be with you. Conrad, great to be with you. Thanks for hanging in Madtown. Hanging out in Madtown, are you?
Yeah, I do the show from here periodically. Always fun to come down here to Civic Media headquarters, and we're right over State Street. Jim, you probably worked funny business back in the day.
I have many a time. It's a great place. Always love Madison. Great crowds. Just a lot of fun. You, if you're not having fun in Madtown, you're not even trying.
Yeah, something's wrong. Exactly. Well, I love how you are representing tonight. You've got the Packers pullover on. You got a fire in the fireplace. You look like you are ready for January football, my friend. My question to you is, like, I think I shared this with you, Jim. I lived in the city of Chicago, just west of the Kennedy. Moved up to a very small town that you did stand up in a few years ago. We got to hang out in Marinette. Love it. I live there now. But I was a Bear fan in Packer country. You are a Packer fan in Bear country. When did you know you were a Packer fan?
Well, this started many, many years ago. So let's just, it goes back to my father. I had two older brothers, still have two older brothers. My dad became a Packer fan. I don't know how it happened, but the long and short of it is, we had four kids, vacations were not easy. So you went to the closest place you could. You went to Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
Went to Wisconsin, went to the Dells. We ended up going up to Door County, and my dad was a Packer fan. So we'd watch the Packers, I was kind of ambivalent, obviously the Bears were around, my brother were Bear fans. So anyway, but as a young kid, 10, 11 years old, we go to Door County on the way back. We stop at Lambeau Field, and it's, it's training days. It's, it's practice. And, you get a chance to see, I got a chance to meet MacArthur Lane and John Brockington, your idols when you're growing up. So, the one thing that's so unique about Green Bay is that the stadium and everything is in the middle of a town, it's just so cool to go in there and see, and they're very hands-on as far as, meeting the people. So a great time. That's how I became a Packer fan. And my dad, no longer with us, but got a chance to get him to Lambeau a number of times and saw a bunch of great games. And, it's not easy being a Packer fan in Chicago. I'll tell you that. My dad would walk around and walk the dog, and he'd have his big Packer jacket on. And of course, on a Monday after the Packers won, he would walk around really proud with that.
Right.
And of course, on other days when the Packers weren't so good, he would walk around and walk fast.
Still sport the colors, but be a little more humble. It's interesting you say that, because a mutual friend of ours, Vince Maranto, told me 20 years ago about the Packer Hall of Fame. And Vince is a huge Bears fan too. He goes, I'm telling you, even as a Bear fan, go to the Packer Hall of Fame. It is something to see. I brought my daughter there when she was 7. We went to the Train Museum, which is another amazing place to go in Green Bay. And then the Packer Hall of Fame. She loved it as a 7-year-old girl. Like, it's just a neat place.
It really is. Green Bay does the best of anybody with all their history and all the accolades that they've done. And they just do a great job of presenting, all their history and, all the great players and everything that have, been on Lambeau Field. It's just, it's a great, if you haven't been up there, you got to see it. Got to stop by.
Yeah. Well said.
I just want to let you know this, Pete.
Yeah.
Because it is, Bears Packer big playoff weekend. So what I'm doing right now off to my left, and you can't see it, I could show you if I turn my computer around, but just to get in the spirit of things for this weekend, for this big game on Saturday, I have the November 9th game from 2014 on, when the Bears were playing the Packers up in Lambeau. And it's such a great game because the Packers were winning 42-0 at half.
Oh, God. That's Mark Trestman. That's not even fair, Jim. What a horrible
I don't
coach
care. I'm getting ready for the game this Saturday. I got to build up. I'm going to have the NFC Championship game on after this.
When
Randall Cobb went down the middle of the field. So, all right. So how do you rectify living up in Marinette and being a Bear fan?
It's in my blood. It's where the memories I have of watching Walter Payton, going to mass on Sunday mornings, going to Dunkin' Donuts after, coming home and turning the Bears game on the northwest side of Chicago where I lived. Such great memories watching Walter Payton, remembering I wanted to be Walter Payton, and finding out about 2 weeks later I had no athletic ability whatsoever, but that's beside the point. But, just all that stuff, it's ingrained in you. And when I lived, I didn't understand the rivalry until I moved in junior high to Marinette, and people were like really passionate about this rivalry. I knew it was a rivalry. I had Packer fans in my extended family, but you kind of dig your heels in more when you feel – people in your face. Like when I lived in LA for years, I was kind of like, oh, it's the Packer. Like I didn't have Packer fans all around me, even though there are some out there as well. But when you're in the thick of it, and maybe you feel this too in Chicago, you really dig your heels in and you stick to your guns.
Yeah, you do. The thing is at least for the Packer fans, we've had the luxury of having a long time of great success over the years, ever since we got Brett Favre and everything else since then. We had some rocky road before that, but the Bears, they're having their renaissance right now. They're trying to get, they're all excited down here. They all think they're going to win on Saturday, which, the way they've been playing, you can't ever discount them, but I don't know if you heard this, breaking news.
I love
Micah Parsons is going to play on Saturday
on crutches.
on crutches. You're going to be out there on crutches. Because, you know, even when Micah Parsons on crutches, even if he didn't move, you know that Caleb Williams is not going to go run anywhere near him.
He's got a walking boot and crutches, and he'll still get a half a sack somehow.
Yeah, he will. He will get a half a sack.
Do you have a – Conrad has already predicted. He's predicting a Packer victory.
Yep.
What do you think, Jim? Are you with Conrad there? I mean, the Bears have lost two in a row. They haven't looked particularly good, even on offense. The Packers have dropped four in a row for different reasons. There are probably – I used to think the Bears had injuries this year. The Packers are really injury-riddled right now. What's going to happen this weekend?
Well, here's what I think is going to be the biggest key of the game. As you remember, the last time the Packers and the Bears played, the Bears won. And they won, you know, in a matter of
–
within the last
game.
2 minutes, got in the overtime, and then the – so here's my point. Romeo Doubs is going to be out of his mind this Saturday because he wants to make up so badly for that mishandled onside kick. So he's going to have a big game. Now, and if you didn't see the game the other day when it was the Bears and Detroit, did you see that game?
I did.
Yeah. So if you're Matt LaFleur, I do my best Jaden Reed, I'm a St. Brown impression run the same exact patterns in the same exact place because he was wide open and the Bears' defense can be scored upon. So I think Jaden Reed's going to have a big game. I think Romeo Doubs going to have a big game. And I think you're also going to see Josh Jacobs, who's been held out. He's a guy who's a big game player, Josh Jacobs is. So I think he's going to have a big game. So
Jim McHugh is my guest. He's a very funny Chicago-based stand-up comic and Packer fan. We are talking Bears and Packers. He and Conrad are both predicting a Packer victory. Here's what's happening, Jim. I have so much trauma. And the Packers have ripped my heart out so much over the last 25 years. I just, in that game, the last game the Bears came back in the last 2 minutes, that almost made up for a lot of it. But it's still there's been too much heartbreak. I won't predict a game. I will say the Bears can't stop the run, and they have no pass rush. So, you know, and I'm not convinced they can win a shootout. They almost did with San Francisco. They can put points on the board, but they haven't. So I really have no idea what to expect. I have to be honest. And Jordan Love could come back and be rusty. He could come back and have something to prove. Who knows? I don't know. But who's the better quarterback right now, Jim?
Oh, Jordan Love is definitely the better quarterback. He's better seasoned. But, you know, Caleb Williams is on the come. He's going to get better every year. And Ben Johnson is kind of getting him a little bit out of some bad habits, which is good. Yeah, he still throws the ball. He's not as accurate as he needs to be, but he's very elusive. So I think that's going to be an interesting part of how the Packers contain him and don't let him get outside. I think the Packers linebacking core is very stout, and you know, he's not going to get very far between the linebackers, Quay Walker. And I'm just drawing a blank, but the other guy,
Gary,
Rashawn Gary, you know, defensive lineman, and Lucas Van Ness, you know, they have to make an impact. We'll see. You know, here's what I think the key to the game is. More than anything else, the one thing that the Bears have done better than any team this year is gotten takeaways. So if the Packers can stay clean and don't turn the ball over, it's advantage Packers. If the Bears get a couple, if they get a fumble or interception, obviously things turn and it's advantage Bears. And it obviously depends on when they get those turnovers. As we found out last time, you know, the Packers have been coughing the ball up right by the goal line going in to score.
Yeah.
So they cannot do that. They have to get in the red zone and they have to score.
Two more questions for you, Jim. Who's the better coach? Who's the better coach?
I would say, well, Matt LaFleur, I mean, you know, you have to go with what he's got going, what he did, because, you know, his record speaks for itself. He's one of the, you know, best coaches that's ever been around for the time he's been. He's only George Seifert has a better record than Matt LaFleur.
Is that right? So, yeah. No kidding. Wow. I feel like he's, I don't want to say unappreciated. Con, what do you think? I feel like LaFleur, Packer fans seem very impatient with him, and I think he's a great coach for a young quarterback.
You know, I enjoy watching Matt LaFleur, some of his play calls. Some of his play calls can be questionable, like the screens and stuff, but other than that, I think he's a good coach. I think that the Packers fans just worry, like, right away, instantly. It's like they don't give him a chance.
They're always looking over. You're always looking over your shoulder at the next, you know, for the next coach. I don't know what you're doing here with Matt LaFleur. He's proven himself. Obviously, it looks like Jeff Hafley is going to be out the door after this season.
So. Jim, thank you so much. Before we let you go, we got about 30 seconds. Favorite all-time Packer.
Oh, Ray Nitschke.
Oh, wow. And what a favorite all-time Bear?
Dick Butkus.
But I knew you were going to say Butkus. I had to ask.
I had a chance to do a show, and it was a dais, and right to my right, immediately to my right, is Dick Butkus. I mean, literally within a foot from me. I mean, wow. It was the most scary show I've ever had in my life.
You're the best. Thank you, Jim. And good luck this weekend. Whatever happens, we're still friends.
Oh, you got it. Go Pack, go. 31-21.
Oh, Pack. Interesting. Jim McHugh, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, sir. We are coming right back to finish up with all of your texts, folks. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Get up home. I want to drive them home. When you're feeling blue, I'm thinking just of you.
Welcome back. I would like to thank all of my fantastic guests tonight, Dr. Kristen Lierley, Rob Thomas, Mike Gamal, and Jim McHugh. And I'll thank you for all your texts and calls. We got to play catch up here on a few texts. Your Aunt Carla's back in action, Conrad.
Yeah.
So this is from Aunt Carla in the 608. She says, hello from Grandma Krieger. She wanted to say her most and always daytime drama is Days of Our Lives, a faithful viewer for 40 years. Hi, Conrad and Pete. Happy New Year. Love, Grandma Krieger.
Happy New
Year.
Love
back at you. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Grandma Krieger. And Carla says, now she follows Days of Our Lives on Peacock, long gone on NBC. Susan from McFarland in the 60. Oh, I'm sorry. That was a phone call. In the 608, no name. My classmate was very athletic. He was an excellent swimmer. He died in the local pool after an epileptic seizure. He drowned. Oh, that is horrifying. And that was a text that we received when Mike Gamal was here talking about epilepsy and how, and Mike's theory was that epilepsy, people don't, it doesn't get funded because people don't see the effects of it unless someone is having a seizure. So that was a very telling text as well. Thank you, 608. Bridget from the 818 says, I get into The Bachelor sometimes. I think I will watch an episode or two and get hooked. Yeah, that's pretty cheesy, Con. I think a lot of people...
I don't know.
Reality shows count.
I think that The Bachelor is one of the worst ones out there.
I agree. And it is, I mean, it's not cheesy, a soap opera.
Cheesy galore.
But it's definitely cheesy. Thank you, Bridget. Steven in the 262 says, wait a minute, Kevin Bacon did the Worm movie and the Bondsman. It's not a high bar. I said the followers was kind of low for Kevin Bacon beneath him. And, I don't think he's one of the best actors out there, but he's a solid actor.
What's the Worm movie?
I thought the show was bad. Tremors. Really good thriller. Really cheesy, speaking of cheese, but it was fun. And the dad from Family Ties was in that too. Tom from New Berlin says, Pete, been watching Trailer Park Boys. Does that count?
Oh, yeah.
Trailer Park Boys is pretty funny. I've only seen a few episodes, but I laughed. Tom says, grew up on Days, meaning Days of Our Lives. My pal Paul Gilmartin used to do a joke, say, when you talk about Days of Our Lives, you just say Days. When you say All My Children, people just say all my kids, because people who watch soap operas don't have time to say the whole thing. You know, it's such a great joke.
We are forgetting one of the actors in All My Children, too.
Drake or Maury?
No, Bryce. You know who? Gunther.
Oh, he was Bryce from All My... God, that's one of the funniest lines ever on Friends, when Joey realizes that Gunther was a soap star, too. And now he's working in the coffee shop. That was brilliant. Larry from the 608 says, B5. I don't know who that is. Did a cameo on all?
Yeah.
Who's that? B5?
B5. No, I was just, the next text clears it up.
Oh, okay. Did a cameo on All My Children long after I was watching, but their song Erica Kane captures how she messed up guys understand why those college guys found it therapeutic to boo her. Oh, this is the Larry is the guy that watched it in his dorm room. Gotcha. Larry also says, to continue, B5 appeared in the April 25th, 2008 episode as activists rallying for Erica's release from prison. During the appearance, the group performed Erica Kane. They also taped a video for the song with Susan Lucci. Rapper Lil' Kim at times refers to herself as the Black Erica Kane. Rapper Speaker Knocker's last release before dying in 2014 was titled Erica Kane. Look at this. Larry even footnoted. He's got that's impressive. The homework that went into that text. Larry is officially board certified as a texter. Well done, sir. Thank you, Larry. Steady Eddie in the 608 says, Pete, did you know the Brenda Lee holiday hit song Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree was originally titled Getting Busy Around the Christmas Tree? He says, I might be mistaken about that. I kind of wish that was true.
No, I think that's real.
He continues saying, maybe you could sing a few bars, Pete. Nope. Never too early to put your listeners in a holiday mood. Sing it like no one is listening. Only 350 days until Christmas. Brenda Lee was known as Little Miss Dynamite. She was 4'9", but could rock out a tune like few others. Steady Eddie. P.S. Downton Abbey, great soap opera. Oh, that's interesting. Steady Eddie also says, who killed JR? I watched Dallas back in the day. Pretty good. You know, that was going to be my choice too, Larry, because as a kid, I was thinking of Larry Hagman. I remember watching Dallas and just not really being too young to understand it, but it did seem cheesy to me, even as a kid. That's a great choice. On the stream, Dave says, our pal Dave says, Days of Our Lives. Okay. And he says his wife likes General Hospital. I just never got into soap operas.
You know, I always felt like soap operas always involved some type of hospital, and I just, like, didn't want to get into that.
Yeah, a lot of them do, but I had a serious crush on Susan Lucci when I was a kid, and I never got into it, the soap opera. But I would see her on the award shows, and when she lost, you probably don't remember this, Con, but she lost, like, 18 years in a row. Something like that. She didn't get an Emmy. And I'm like, this is just mean at some point. Because at some point, someone who's nominated 18 times or 15 times or whatever it was deserves an Emmy. If she's in the conversation, give her the damn Emmy.
I wouldn't even show up anymore if I lost 18 times in a row.
Yeah, really. At some point, she's kind of a glutton for punishment, I guess.
Just like, why even go?
Larry from Deerfield says, AI... And I thank you. Well, that's our, AI, he's still footnoted. He took a shortcut with his pal ChatGPT.
I mean, yeah, that's exactly. My wife's best friend. I love it, you know? I love ChatGPT.
I got nothing against it. Actually, I hate it.
I love it because
it's really fast about face there.
It can make quizzes for me, so I like it.
Yeah, fair enough. And Larry sent a link that we'll have to play off the air because I don't know if it's clean or not. But thank you, everybody, for your texts and calls you always make whenever we do the show from Madison. It's just more fun when you guys participate, as it is every night. So we will be back again tomorrow night to do this all over again, back on the home court in Green Bay. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.